If you'd like to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2 and verses 1 to 12. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the word of the Lord. Well, it's New Year's Day, and with New Year comes an opportunity to press restart. Many of us do that by setting ourselves resolutions, things we want to achieve, and our aims and goals for the year. Well, what I want us to do this morning as we look at this familiar Christmas story is to press restart on our relationship with the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and you're a Christian and you've been a Christian for many years. New Year's Day is a wonderful day to renew your faith and commitment in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, and you are here because you want to explore the Christian faith. Well, this passage is so helpful because it tells us what Christianity is all about. Or maybe you're here this morning and you are a Christian, but you've drifted in your faith over the last year or over the last few years. Well, New Year's Day is a wonderful day to come back to the Lord and to be reminded of his grace and love for you. And that's what this passage does. So there's five things about Christianity that I want us to see from this familiar passage. I want us to see the reality of it, the reality of Christianity, the reality of Christmas even, because this is the last of our series looking at the Christmas story from Matthew. So the reality of Christmas, the reason for Christmas, the result of Christmas, the response to Christmas, and finally rejoicing in Christmas. So five things this morning. It is New Year's Day, isn't it? So special day, you get five instead of three points. So five things: reality of Christmas, reason for Christmas, result of Christmas, response to Christmas, and rejoicing in Christmas. First of all, the reality of Christmas. Matthew begins this passage with these words. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Now, when it comes to Christianity, when it comes to the Christmas story in particular, many people think this is just a nice story. You know, isn't it lovely at a dark and dreary time of year to have a story which makes you feel good about God sending a baby into the world and him coming with light and life and love and restoring a broken world? Isn't this lovely? But Matthew wants us to see that it's more than just lovely. It's real. It's true. You see, he sets the Christmas story at a particular time in history. He says, when Herod was king. Now, as soon as Matthew's readers would have read those words or heard those words, a shudder would have gone down their spine. Remember those days when Herod was king? Herod, who would think nothing of killing his wife and some of his children because he was threatened by them. Herod, who was a bit of a megalomaniac and nutter and would just slaughter people if he felt that they were a threat to his kingship. Herod, who was appointed by the Romans in 40 BC and ruled for about 40 years, that was the time when Jesus was born. And we're told where he was born. In Bethlehem of Judea, Bethlehem 6 miles south of Jerusalem. It's a place, a particular location. And Matthew says and tells us who went to visit him. It was three kings. Well, actually, it wasn't three kings. We know the stories, we've heard the carols, but actually, there probably wasn't three of them, and they weren't kings. Here we're told that they were wise men. The word in the original is magi, where we get the word magic from. These were astrologers, sorcerers, magicians, mystic Meg kind of people. They were pagan Gentiles. Why on earth is Matthew going to start his story about Jesus by telling us that these mystic Megs, Professor Dumbledores of their day, came to see Jesus? Unless they really did. See, Matthew wants us to see right at the start of his gospel, that the shepherds and Mary and Joseph and the baby and the magi, the Christmas story was real. It actually happened. You can go and check it out for yourself. If you'd have been around at the time, you'd have said, yes, Herod was king then. Yes, we know where Bethlehem is. Yes, this is a bit weird. It must be true. So why does Matthew want to ground the Christmas story and Christianity in history? Because of the reason for it. See, what's the reason for Christmas? Well, when the Magi arrive in Jerusalem, they approach King Herod, and they ask him a question. They say this: where is he who has been born King of the Jews? Now, that title, King of the Jews, is a messianic title. You know, sometimes you hear the word Messiah referred, you hear certain footballers or certain people referred to as the Messiah because they come and save the day. Well, the Jews were looking forward to a Messiah who was going to come and save the day. The Old Testament was pointing forward to someone who was going to come, who was going to rescue God's people, restore Israel, save the Jews, and not only save the Jews, but save the world as well. The Magi have got hold of that in what they say. They say, for we have seen his star in the east, and we ourselves have come to worship him. You see, this Messiah was not just going to be the King of the Jews, but he was going to become a as King of the Jews, the King of the world as well, the Savior of the world. You see, you and I know that this world is a mess. It's a broken place. It's dark and it's evil. And the reason the world is like it is because we are like we are. The reason there's mess out there is because there's mess in here. The reason there's darkness out there is because there's darkness in here. The reason there's brokenness out there is because there's brokenness in here. We know that, and God knows that, and God wanted to do something about it. He wanted to send a Savior, His Son, into the brokenness of this world to remake it, into the darkness of this world to bring light, into the death and destruction of this world to bring life. See, that's why Jesus came. See, Jesus came to remake this broken world and remake our broken lives. And how was He going to do it? Well, not in the way that we would expect. You see, He's not the kind of king that you would expect. See, where were kings born? They're born in palaces. When a king is born, everybody knows about it. It's in the papers. There's a big party. And what do the Magi say? They say to Herod, "Where's the party? We've heard there's a king that's been born. We've seen a star and we've connected it with the king who's going to be the king of the Jews and the king of the world. Where's the party? Where's the pomp? Where's the palace?" Nobody knows. Nobody's heard because he's been born in obscurity. He's a king, but not like any other. And in fact, that phrase, King of the Jews, is going to tell us the sort of king he's going to be and the sort of thing he's going to do. Matthew, in his gospel, brings that phrase, King of the Jews, up again at the end of the gospel in Matthew chapter 27. And it appears on a piece of wood above Jesus' head when he's nailed to the cross. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. You see, the King of the Jews was going to come and be king by dying for the brokenness of the world. He was going to be plunged into darkness on the cross for the darkness of the world. He was going to die for the death and the destruction in the world and in our lives. He was going to bear the sin and the brokenness of our lives and be judged by God for those things, so that you and I can have light and life and know the love of God in Jesus Christ and be forgiven for our brokenness and mess and sin once and for all. See, that's why Jesus came. And so what's the result of Him coming? What's the result of Christmas? Well, when the Magi arrived to see Herod, Herod hasn't heard about a party because there hasn't been one. And so he gets his religious advisors together, the chief priests, the scribes, and he says, "Tell me about where the king's going to be born." And they say to him, to get the book of Micah out from the Old Testament, which was written 700 years earlier, and they say, "Well, he's going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, the place where David, the king, was born." He's going to be David's great, great, great descendant, the ultimate king. Micah says the king is going to be born in the city of kings. And just a little aside here, the Magi saw that there was going to be a king born because they looked up at the stars. But it was the scriptures that took them to Bethlehem to see Jesus. If you want to see Jesus, open the Bible in 2023. But Micah doesn't just say where Jesus is going to be born. He says what Jesus is going to be like. What he's going to do. Micah says he's going to shepherd God's people. Now, a shepherd was a picture of the rulers of God's people because it described what they were going to do on God's behalf. God's the ultimate shepherd. And the rulers of God's people, the kings in the Old Testament, were meant to be under shepherds. Because What were they supposed to do for God's people? Well, what does a shepherd do for his sheep? He rounds them up. He cares for them. He feeds them. He protects them. He leads them to safety. That is what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to be a shepherd, to lead God's people, to protect God's people, to care for God's people, to feed God's people, to bring God's people ultimately back to God, safely home, into his pasture. And ultimately, he'll do that through his death. You know, we read in John's Gospel, Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. See, Jesus dies that we might have life. Jesus is struck down so we can be saved. Jesus is cut off so we can be brought and gathered in. Now, this is so helpful for us because we all need a shepherd in our lives. At the start of 2023, you need a shepherd in your life. We all need someone who's going to guide us and lead us and look after us. This world is a complex and a dark place, and we all need someone who's going to lead us and protect us. Now, for some of us, we rely on ourselves to do that. We say, well, I can do that. And often we make a mess of our lives as a result. But wouldn't it be great if we had a shepherd who understood us completely? A shepherd who'd made us in the first place. A shepherd who understood this world completely because he'd made the world as well. A shepherd who could guide us and lead us through this world. Who could make sure that in whatever situation we were in, we would not want. Who would make sure that at times we lie down in green pastures. Who would lead us beside still waters. Who, when our souls need restoring, restore them. Who's even with us in the dark and tough times of the valley of the shadow of death. So that you and I would not need to fear. Because we have a shepherd and a guide who's leading us through. In fact, who's leading us through and protecting us against our enemies and will one day bring us home to heaven and to himself. See, that's what Jesus came to do, to be your shepherd, to be your guide, to be your protector, and to lead you home to heaven. See, that's the result of Christmas. And so the question for you and me is, how do we get Jesus to be our shepherd? How can we have Jesus as our shepherd at the start of 2023? Well, the way you get him is by responding rightly to him. In our passage, we have two responses to Jesus. The first response is the response of King Herod, who's a complete megalomaniac and nutter. He hears about Jesus being born, and he's troubled. Now, he's not troubled because he's curious about who he is. He's troubled because he's threatened. You know, Herod is threatened when he hears that there's an alternative king. He's the king. He's the king of his own life. He's the king of the Jews. And somebody else, another pretender to the throne, has appeared, and he's threatened by that. He doesn't want to give up his throne. He doesn't want to give up being king of his own life. And so he even goes and tries to kill Jesus when he's a baby. And yet Herod was the king of the Jews. He was a religious guy. He was meant to be leading the people in faith in God. Do you know, it is possible to be religious. It's possible to come to church regularly. It's possible to say your prayers even. It's possible to do all the right things and yet miss the real message of Christmas. In fact, not only just to miss it, but to be hostile to it. To be threatened by it. Because you don't want Jesus to be king of your life. You know, some of the people who I've met who are most hostile to the Christian faith, who hate the gospel more than anything else, are vicars and bishops and religious people who you would expect to love the message of the gospel and the message of Jesus Christ as their king. It's possible to be very religious and to hate Jesus Christ because you're threatened when you hear that he's the king. But there's a second response, and that's the response of the Magi. These magicians, pagan magicians, come to see Jesus, and what do they do when they see him? They fall down before him. They worship him. And they offer him the gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Don't ask me exactly why they brought those things, but they were all precious. And they're the sort of great gifts that you would give to somebody who is important. That have also been expensive. And so they're offering their best things to Jesus Christ. You see, what's happening to them? They see the king and they devote themselves to him. They worship him. They center their lives around him. They offer him their gifts, their abilities, their resources. They say, well, if he's the king, I am going to submit to him. I am going to obey him. I'm going to give him my all. Now, let me say, those two responses to Jesus Christ are the only two sensible responses that people should give. One of them sensible but wrong, one of them sensible and right. But they're both sensible because they're both acknowledging that Jesus is king. But many people don't respond to Jesus Christ like that. Many people outside church consider Jesus to be a good teacher. He has some wonderful things to say. He's a prophet. But not a king. But even many people inside the church, we can acknowledge that Jesus is a good savior. We can even acknowledge that Jesus is a king. But the question for you and me is this: do we give him our all? Do we submit to him as king? It's one thing to say that he is the king. It's another thing to live our lives as if he's the king. To use our time, to use our resources, to use our gifts for him because he is the king of our lives. And at the start of 2023, the challenge for you and me is not just will you acknowledge that he's the king, but will you accept it? Will you live as if he's the king? Now you might say to me this morning, how can I come to him as the king? Because if you knew the sort of things I've done in my life, if you'd known the sort of ways that I live or I have lived, then you'd say you wouldn't say that I could come into his presence and have him as the king of my life. Well, remember who it is who's come to see Jesus and worshiped him as the king. It's pagan magicians. These aren't religious folk. They weren't brought up going to church. And yet, they have come to him and acknowledged him as the king. So don't say, look at my life and how bad I am. It doesn't matter how bad you are. You can have Jesus as the king of your life. Don't say to me, well, you know, I'm fairly old now. I've lived my life just for myself. I've got to carry on doing that. You can only become a Christian when you're young. You can't. You can have Jesus Christ as king of your life when you're old. Don't say to me, well, it's religious people who have Jesus Christ as the king of their life, and I'm not really that religious. You don't have to be religious. In fact, it's the religious people in this passage who don't treat Jesus like he should be treated and worship him. It's the irreligious Gentiles who come to Jesus and accept him and have him as their king. And you can have him as your king this Christmas as well. Start of 2023, put Jesus Christ at the center of your life. Accept him as your king. Have him as your shepherd. Let him lead you through. Because if you do that, then you'll get joy in your life. And that's the final thing we see in this passage. The way the Magi rejoice at Christmas. You see, when they come and see Jesus, When they see the storm, actually, over the place where Jesus is, we're told they rejoice exceedingly with great joy. It might be a bit of an exaggeration to say that they are delirious with joy, but maybe not much. That's how they felt when they saw the star, when they saw Jesus, when they saw the King is here. And that will be the case for you if you have Jesus Christ as King of your life in 2023. You'll have joy in your life. Joy no matter what your circumstances are. Because it's not dependent on your circumstances. Joy in your life, not just for a day, but for the year. In fact, joy in your life forever. You see, why will you have joy in your life if you have Jesus as your King? Because, first of all, you will have joy knowing that you have been accepted by God. You know, so many of us live our lives trying to gain acceptance from other people, approval from other people. And at the start of 2023, many people set themselves resolutions. And what's the basis of those resolutions? So they might look good before other people. But you don't need to be controlled by other people, controlled by wanting approval from other people. You don't need to worry what other people are going to say or think, because if you have Jesus as your King, then you have been accepted by God just as you are, approved by God just as you are. And that gives you a joy and a contentment, a joy that makes you able to say, I don't care what other people think, because I know I'm loved by God Himself. But you don't just get joy through knowing that you've been forgiven. You get joy knowing that God is in control of your life. That Jesus Christ is your shepherd. That He is your King. That He is in charge of your life, not you. So many of us worry in life. We worry about our jobs. We worry about our families. We worry about the future. We worry about decisions that we've got to make. We worry. Why do we worry? We worry because we think, this depends on me. You know, I'm in charge of my life. I'm in the driving seat. And so I need to make the right decisions. I need to say the right things. I need to do the right things. If Jesus is your King, He's in the driving seat. And your job is to take your hands off the steering wheel of your life. And let Him be the King. And if you do that, you will get joy because you won't need to worry. Worry about where you're going to live. Worry about what you're going to do. You don't need to worry about those things. You can give them to Jesus. He's the King. It's His job to sort those things out, not yours. What freedom and joy that will bring to you in 2023. But finally, He gives us joy because if He's your King, He's not just going to be your King for a day or for a week or for a year, but He's going to be your King forever. And so He will lead you forever. I said last night at the New Year's Eve service, on the back of somebody's testimony, which of you know whether you're going to be here in a year's time? None of us do. We hope we will, but nobody knows what 2023 has got in store for us. And death is the ultimate enemy. It will take all of us one day. But you don't need to worry about that. You see, if Jesus is your Lord, if He is your King, if He is your shepherd, He's going to lead you through this life, and He's going to lead you ultimately back to Himself in heaven. And so you don't need to fear and worry even about death. Even about getting ill and sick. What joy that brings. What freedom that brings. See, if you make Jesus Christ your King today, if you live with Him as your King this year, then you'll have joy, you'll have freedom, you'll have life, you'll have light, you'll know a shepherd, and that will lead you through. Let me pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we commit ourselves to you again this start of this new year. Commit ourselves to Jesus Christ because, Lord, he committed himself to us. He came and lived and died and rose for us. Lord, help us to accept that, accept his love, accept his grace, accept him as our king. Not to see his kingship as a threat to our lives, but actually to see it as freedom, as life. Lord, help us to do that this morning, we ask. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.